The speaker.
Alaska is a resource state, and Alaska will forever need those kinds of people. Probably, I would dare say, more than the graduates from the higher class college schools, for example, engineering students. UAF can supply a certain number of graduates from engineering schools, but there are other very good engineering schools throughout the country, doctors, lawyers, other professional-type people, Madam Speaker, that also will find the great land. But, Madam Speaker, I'm suggesting that those of us that may know people who are perhaps not going to do very well, to just have a worthless diploma in their hand because they're granted to everybody who attends and stays warm for 4 years, is not helping those people. It's telling those people that you should probably look for something of a vocational trade rather than try and go in and compete on a college level. Because if all people who graduate, all people who leave high school have a diploma, then there's no saying that you shouldn't be in the university system. This is a tremendous expense to the state because so many of those are going to be weeded out anyway. Those who stay in and fight through the system and don't actually utilize, which is a common occurrence, Madam Speaker, in getting degrees and then never being able to utilize them. My point, Madam Speaker, is that because we establish a criterion, as you do in a class, the teacher teaches the subject matter, you take a test on that subject matter. That's what we're saying now. We're going to find out whether there is a comprehensive retention of the class material that they've learned in 4 years. And if they can't, over repeated tests and repeated tests, then they shouldn't be considered to have accomplished what was necessary to get a diploma. Thank you.
Representative Belton and then Nicolai.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, just briefly. I mean, I think the debate has been kind of illuminating, but the debate to this point has focused on what happens if you do or you don't pass a test and what the costs are. Madam Speaker, I think education goes beyond that, and it goes beyond cost. I mean, we're talking about a test that is going to give us a snapshot of a student's life for maybe the past hour, that period of time in which he or she is taking that test. And that snapshot is going to be applied against or for that student for a long period of time. Even as we phase in and we move this test back to the ninth grade, essentially all we're asking for is a snapshot. And Madam Speaker, that's all we're going to get is that snapshot. That snapshot that's going to tell us all about that student and everything about that student that happened within that hour. It doesn't provide that we're going to ask districts to act on the information that they get during that one-hour test or that 45-minute test. It doesn't require that remedial work will be done. I mean, at some point, it may mean that we can grade on the curve. We can look at different districts, and we can say this number of students passed in the ninth grade, this number of students passed in the 10th grade, and you can compare that to how other districts across the state have done. But that's all you can do is compare to other districts in the state. I mean, we have standardized tests that students take now where you can see how your district is doing. You can grade on the curve, not just the curve in Alaska, but the curve across the nation. Madam Speaker, I guess what distresses me about this bill is it gives us a snapshot. It has absolutely nothing at all to do with what we do once we get that snapshot of a student's life. It's unfair to use anecdotal things, especially when they occurred 30 years ago, as they did in my case when I graduated from high school. But Madam Speaker, some of the people that I graduated with, I was lucky enough to get together with them last year at a high school reunion. Some of those people, if we define them by that snapshot that we took at the high school reunion, I mean, we could go across and we could say, oh, wasn't he successful or she successful? Like, she was more successful than he was. Madam Speaker, that snapshot that we would have taken at my high school reunion had absolutely nothing at all to do with the lives of those students 30 years ago when they would have been taking a test. I mean, I'm proud of the fact that a couple of the people that I graduated with, they're masters on the state ferry system. Some of them are homemakers. Some of them are mechanics. Some of them are teachers. One is a poet. One is a poet that probably couldn't have passed the math test. but that had absolutely nothing at all to do with the success of that poet once they were out of school. This does nothing except give us a snapshot. That snapshot is, I'm afraid, going to be used as a predictor of future success. It's a snapshot that when it's taken in the ninth grade, I think is going to tell a ninth grader you're a failure if they don't pass it. And if they don't pass it in the 10th grade, they're going to say, two strikes, I might as well be out of here. And then they're out of the system. They're beyond the district's ability to provide any help. And Madam Speaker, a test sets a goal. But when we talk about goals, we have to remember not all goals are the same. The goals that I had when I was in high school were a lot different than the goals that a lot of the people sitting around me in the English class had or in the math class had. And I guess I'd be much more comfortable voting for, I'm not going to vote for this bill, and I'd encourage other people not to, but I'd be much more comfortable, I'd be able to at least see where we want to go if this bill included the rest of what needs to be done. And the rest of what needs to be done is once you identify these students, whether it's in the ninth grade or the 12th grade, you then have to decide what you do with those that don't meet the standard. This bill has nothing at all to do with that. And because it doesn't, and because we don't have the whole package in front of us, I'm going to vote no.
Representative Nicolai?
Speaker, I'm standing in opposition to this bill. I don't think that it accomplishes what it set out to do, mainly because they don't start, it doesn't mandate that the students be tested in their earlier years. And I think that if you want to accomplish graduating students that know what, or that pass the requirements of reading, English, and mathematics, then you need to start at an earlier age. The other problem that I have with this test is that you may have students that have no control of the situation at home. These students may be dealing with parents that are alcoholics or drug addicts or parents that provide no support for their students in their education. So what this bill does is penalize those students for something that they have no control over. We don't know what is going through the minds of these students. And you may not know what is happening with them educationally and academically, physically, emotionally. And I think that a lot of times I've seen some of these students go through this and then see them graduate and then they become successful students in college and in training centers. And the other concern that I have with this bill is that when you mandate that they not receive their diploma, then you also cut them short of being able to further their education because most vocational centers require a diploma from high school now. In my previous job, it was a job where I had to decide which students were going to go to high school, which students were going to go to vocational training. And I listened to them, talked to them, counseled them for 8.5 years. This is the job that I had to do. And there were students, and when I looked at their transcripts, and I thought, oh, no, the student's not going to make it. But this student was determined and had a goal in mind. And as you know, that most students in high school, you know, will sit down and not have a goal. But once they graduate, and they've been out of school maybe a year or two, or maybe they want to go to college right after they graduate, then they start setting goals. And they decide that they want to accomplish this goal, and so then they become more determined. And so they do better in college than they did in high school. I know this because it happened to me. I mean, when I was in high school, I took Spanish, and I just couldn't see, after I was in the class, I couldn't see why I was in it. And so I passed with a D. And then I went to college, and then I decided I was going to Spain. I was going to live in Spain for 3 months. And so I took the Spanish class and passed it with an A because I had a goal in mind. And then once I got to Spain, then I spoke Spanish fluently because I was determined to learn that language. Students do go through this, as many of you have set a goal after you graduated and accomplished that goal. I think that this will not save the state any money. I think that it will cost the state more money by sending more of these students to welfare, putting them into the welfare program. And the other concern that I have with this bill is that it does not address the issue of our special ed students. Where do the special ed students fit under this bill? Where do they fit under the testing plan? I think this bill is not well thought out. I think what it does is set up barriers for those students that may not successfully pass the test under this bill, but given them a chance, they may pass it later in life. I would encourage a no vote on this bill, and I would hope that you would really think about the different situations that these students are in that they have no control over. I think that's really important here, and that hasn't been addressed. And I would just, again, encourage you to vote no on this.
Representative Hodgins?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. As I listen to the debate on this and I listen to the folks that are against this bill, this bill seems like in their portrayal that this single bill is going to ruin our complete education system. I think that this bill in having a test to pass would be like a driver's test where you pass and you get a driver's license, go out into the world. I think in some of the debate that I've heard earlier is that the people that are talking against this bill are forgetting of the professional men and women that teach our kids, that are educators, that understand, that know what needs to be done. This bill is giving them a little bit more of a goal. This is putting the emphasis that we want to see back on basic education. And that's the way that I see this bill. And I would hope that any future remarks that we'd remember the professional men and women that are out teaching our kids. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Been a lot of things said on this bill, and maybe there's a little bit of overstatement on both sides of the issue. One person said this was an admirable goal, an admirable thought of trying to get this done to improve our education system. The word that came to my mind was more like sinister, although I don't think anybody, or the sponsor of this, set out to have some sinister thought to mislead the public, but I do believe that we are misleading the public. Somebody else talked about fear, and why are we talking about this fear? I don't have a fear of this bill, to be honest with you. I don't think this bill really does much at all. I think this bill will create quite a debate and a fight, and I suspect on this floor we'll have a fight in 2 years when the testing mechanisms comes out. We'll have a fight throughout Alaska about whether this is outcome-based education now or whether it isn't, whether we're teaching to a test. What level is this test? Is it too high or too low? Will you put it out there the first year, and if only half the people pass it, you're going to have half the people, parents, obviously saying that their child has been cheated. And we'll have other people maybe say that, again, the test is not high enough. Well, Madam Speaker, I think the reason that I oppose this bill, I think so much, Madam Speaker, is because the fear I have is that the majority takes this out and that this is education reform. And that's how your caucus have sold this, that this is one piece of an education reform proposal. And that education reform is going to bring better education to our students. I don't think this bill does this at all. If we wanted to do anything at all to help our kids improve in education, to help our school districts, we'd quit cutting their budget every year. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. We have had every one of us in here, I believe, has had the school district come into them and say, by not taking into the cost of living year after year after year, you are cutting our budget and we are in trouble. Some of the harshest debates that have gone on in both bodies down here been over the foundation formula and how do we get more money into the schools. Because what we have done over the last 10 years is allow those class sizes to continue to rise. If we want to help our school districts have more students succeed, the best thing we can do is lower the class size in those first 3 years. The best thing we can do is make sure that every kid that wants into a Head Start program, there's a program for that kid to get into. We can't do everything on the cheap. You know, we can't just continue to say the budget is cut and not address the problems. And the problems are that we have kindergarten, first, second, and third graders in ever-increasing class sizes. Speaker before me talked about the professionals out there. You know, you try to be a first-grade teacher and teach reading with 25, 28 kids. You don't have an aide in there. I mean, have any of you done that? You think it's hard to control this body? Try to control 28 little squirming guys with their little energy in them and try to get sit them down and teach them to read. It's a whole lot of difference when that's 15. Nothing we could do better would be to pass a law that says primary school, class size maximum 15. It might take 10 years before we saw it because it's going to be a while for those guys to get out of school. But I don't believe, in my mind, there's anything more we could do to help that. Madam Speaker, we're going to have a fight over what this test looks like. I believe the answer is a different direction. I will vote no against this because I think we're selling it as something that it is not. It is not a solution to make our education system better.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. The Majority Leader indicated that my remarks, and so did the representative from District 27. And believe me, Madam Speaker, I'm not necessarily negative towards this piece of legislation. It's just basically that I have some concerns, and the concerns basically would be the testing tool that we develop, that we're careful, we must be careful that it's not cultural biased or social or economically biased in how it's developed. And I used reference saying that half of the states that do have this type of testing in schools were basically states that did it for different reasons. And most of these states did it in the 1940s and the 1950s to make sure that certain individuals could not economically or socially or politically compete by the fact that they would be denied education. And after the Civil War, they went so far as to have what we call a literacy test, that anybody that wanted to register to vote had to pass this test that definitely was geared so that most people, or the people they didn't want to pass, did not do so. And I'm not saying that is what this bill does, but I'm just saying that we have to be concerned with the tool that we develop to test people, because we wouldn't want certain segments of the Alaska the student body put at a disadvantage for certain cultural or social or economic reasons. Now, my criticism, however, is dealing with what age level that we have to start developing the young student to be successful in being able to pass the final examination. And anybody that knows anything about child development or child psychology very obviously knows that the key place is in the elementary school. And, Madam Speaker, the people that I admire most are those teachers that are teaching in the elementary grades. I taught in high school, I taught at the college, but my hat is off and my admiration is off for those people that are in the trenches at the elementary level. And that's where we have to get at them. I like the bill, but I think that my criticism says that we have to move it, get them ready in the first place before we start using the exit examination. And thank you, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Sergeant at Arms, has the call been satisfied? The call has been satisfied. Representative Masick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. After hearing the debate here and listening to what members had to say about this bill, I'm going to stand up in opposition to the bill because the area that I represent, Madam Speaker, we're having an increase continuously in our school district. And by taking a look at this fiscal note that's attached, it says here it's going to impact both the local school district and the state. And I don't believe I can support that. Although the intent seems rather, it's good, but I think we need to take a closer look and overall picture of, you know, what we're trying to address here. Because as a parent, as most of us are in this body, Madam Speaker, I know it takes more than just the teachers and, you know, the education board and the state here. It takes the parents, too, to help the children to learn. And I think as we look around, or me as a mother myself, I know I'm down here during so much time off being here in the session, but it takes the parents as well to get involved in ensuring that your student or your son or daughter is going to excel. And I believe that with this bill, we need to do a lot more, but I just really have a problem with the fiscal note, so I will be not supporting it. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Brief wrap-up, Representative Bundy?
Yes, very quickly, Madam Speaker. Some of my fondest memories of teaching is when I taught at the community college, and some of the most exciting, challenging students I taught were those who hadn't graduated from high school for one reason or another, had been in the university in the hard knocks for a few years, and now they're 25, 30 years of age and back in school. Very, very challenging, exciting students. And so I certainly want to say that my impressions and opinions of this bill are not elitist, and they will not condemn someone to a particular lifestyle, whether or not they receive a high school diploma. Madam Speaker, there were some questions asked, will this bill prevent people from getting into a community college? And it was said the university does have an open admissions policy, and this bill does not address that admissions policy, would not change it. It does question local control, and I would submit the state does have a right to be involved here. We do. Our largest single budgetary item is the school budget, and so we have certainly a right to be concerned about the process and the product. Madam Speaker, nothing in this bill prevents local districts from improving their education at the early elementary level, from stopping the horrible practice, I think, of social promotion, from requiring competency at the lower grades. Nothing prevents that. Quite the contrary, I think, when people realize that there is a consequence in high school, folks will certainly, as they say, wake up and smell the coffee. There was some concern about a high school or about a school report card. If you have not received, you will receive shortly from the Commissioner of Education. I just spoke with her this morning, and she showed me a document that they are distributing. It has a spreadsheet of all the schools and the level of achievement. And she just picked one at random and said, look, here's an Alaska school where people are, or students are achieving, 70% of the students are at the bottom of the scale. Madam Speaker, that's intolerable and cannot be allowed. There's concern about what the test will look like. I certainly do not want the legislature designing a test. Designing a valid test is a very challenging and requires a high level of skill. The fiscal note indicates that we will be using the best of national experts to help create our evaluation. There's been concern about money in our educational system, and I have to say that more money will not beget more trust in our educational system. However, if we increase public confidence, I'm sure that further support for funding will follow. To give a student who is functionally illiterate a high school diploma will not make that student literate nor change any of the challenges that student has faced in its background. As a matter of fact, I think it does just the reverse. Madam Speaker, this bill does not create barriers for our students, but merely sets goals, and goals that are very achievable, that will certainly improve the student's lot and improve Alaska. And I certainly would ask for a favorable vote.
Question before the body. Shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 146? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
26 yeas, 13 nays.
And so House Bill 146 passes the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Is there an effective date?
Yes.
I would move the effective date.
Motion before the body is to approve the effective date. House stand at ease. Mr. Majority Leader. Let's vote on it because we need to vote on it. Motion before the body is the adoption of the effective date clause. Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the effective date clause has been adopted. The next item on today's calendar, committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 16, will be held in second reading for tomorrow's calendar, with all pending amendments. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 6, amended by Senators Pierce and Ellis, relating to the Alaska Telemedicine Project. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the resolution, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 6, passed with the same title, recommending do pass Dyson, Bundy, VZ, Kimplin, and Bryce. The report was signed by Bundy Chair. I have one House Committee Substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Hess Committee Substitute for SCR 6 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Hess Committee Substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader? No, we're in final passage. Debate? Madam Clerk, would you please read the title?
House Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 6 has by the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee relating to the Alaska Telemedicine Project.
Ready for the question? Question being? Representative Bryce?
Sorry, Madam Speaker, but I noticed there's not a copy section. Is there a need to have a copy section, or is that just, we're just recognizing, and once we pass, it's recognized. We don't have to tell anybody that we did recognize the telemedicine project.
Representative Bundy? You mean for the distribution?
Yes.
I think Section 2 would do it. No problem. To notify the Department of Education. Right. I'll stand at ease. Are you ready for the question? Question being? Shall the House adopt House Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution number 6? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
34 yeas, 0 nays.
And so Senate Concurrent Resolution number 6 passes the House. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. Unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. There are no requests for absence.
Good thing. Announcements, Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to announce that tomorrow on the Capitol steps, as the National Day of Prayer will be happening, and there will be quite a few different groups that will be assembling and praying for our state and our nation. I invite the members and members of the public to join. And thank you very much.
What time?
I'm sorry, that time is at noon tomorrow. Thank you.
Representative Green, then Dyson, then Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House Judiciary Committee, due to the lateness of the hour, will meet at 1:30 today.
Representative Dyson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Children's Caucus will begin immediately in the Butchervich Room. We have a team down from Anchorage who are experienced in dealing with investigation of crimes against children. I invite you all to come. The speaker there has a commitment of 2 to be teaching DFYS folks some of these skills, and so we'll make it abbreviated. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I serve notice of reconsideration. My vote to House Bill 146.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on 146. Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. A special meeting of the Hess Committee at 3:30 today. We will be, among other things, looking at the foundation formula and getting a briefing on that.
Representative Cowdery.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to announce today at 3 o'clock we're going to have a special meeting on international trade and tourism. On the we're going to present the Sakhalin Duma visiting delegation, and I'd urge that we extend our guests the courtesy of a full committee, and it'll start at promptly at 3.
Further announcements? Committee announcements? Representative Roper.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The House Labor and Commerce Committee will have a delayed meeting today due to the prior announcement from our colleagues and friends from the CIS, and therefore the Labor and Commerce meeting will meet at 3:30 today, and we will take up in the following order House Bill 266, Limited Liability and Limited Partnership Company, House Bill 218, the Omnibus Insurance Bill, and House Bill 209, Project Labor Agreements, in that order.
Further announcements? Special orders?
I did.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Before too many folks leave.
Representative Martin, your presence is requested.
Thank you, Representative Martin. We need you to participate in this because we're getting down to where there's only a few folks left, and we don't want to miss anybody. We have one on birthday. Today, this member was born on May 28th. He happens to be the member that shares my Senate district, in District 19. Representative Sanders. Now, Representative Sanders, in looking at the data on this date, we find that Jerry West and Jim Thorpe were born on this day, indicating the prowess for athletics, and to indicate probably that this member is a real pip. Gladys Knight was born on this day. I have looked at the famous events that have occurred on this day, and I find, to use the terms of our guests from Sakharin, Nichivo. Nothing has happened on this day that's worth a darn anyway. But looking at this member's dissertation on the election pamphlet, we find, first of all, starting that he was born in a very small town in Illinois.
How small is it?
Well, I'm glad that you asked. This town, Kearney, Illinois, is so small that when they printed the street map, it was on a scale of 1 inch equals 1 inch. Now, this representative went to East High School. Unfortunately, that isn't in Anchorage, that's in East St. Louis. This was a very exclusive school. You had to be sent there by a judge. Now, he performed well and admirably in the military service. He was in the Navy for 4 years, where he put a little different spin on a very famous quotation, saying that he regretted that he had but one life to offer to his country, and added that if he'd had two, he'd felt a little safer. In looking at the business professional backgrounds, we find that the representative was in several businesses, and also in his working relationship that he was a teamster for 22 years. This has had a little bit of effect on some of his daily activities with his children. For example, when he'd give them a bedtime story, he would start off by saying, "Once upon a time and a half," and "double time on Sundays" is how he started those things. But that happens, you know, when you... In looking at the service organizations, this member has been a member of quite a few, the Alliance and Elks and NRA. And he says in his relation to his NRA membership that he agrees that that it's not guns that kill, actually it's bullets that kill. In looking at special interests, he has a special interest in hunting. And we've noted in that regard that this member is a great tracker. Once he followed some tracks, they went into a cave, and he went in after him and shot a train. And finally, in looking at the statement, this representative has words to the wise, probably for all of us: never trust a smiling reporter. So let's rise and...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jerry. Happy birthday to you.
Representative Sanders, you have the floor.
All I can say, Madam Speaker, is thank you very much, and I thought I was going to make it.
Representative Roakberg, special orders.
Madam Speaker, can we move back up the calendar to unfinished business, please?
Yes.
Can we have a brief at ease?
Very briefly. House, come back to order. Representative Roakberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, for the slight delay. The Labor and Commerce Committee with the... Madam Speaker, I'd like the body's permission to waive House Bill 210, Airport Duty-Free Concessions, from the Labor and Commerce Committee. I have now checked with all members of the committee and confirmed that they agree to the waiver.
Without objection, that bill will be waived from Labor and Commerce Committee. Further special orders? Representative Hodgins?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Very quickly, I read in two different newspapers this morning, so it must be correct. The permission to speak. Thank you.
On what subject?
On discretionary spending. I read this morning in, yes, ma'am, in two different newspapers that Alaska, who was number one in wages in 1986, is now, the indication is now 18th in wages per capita. And that's very disturbing, because that means that our resource extraction jobs are being replaced with retail and other lower paying jobs. And I find that very discouraging, and I hope to that this body realizes that, and in the future we hope to rectify that. And I also wanted to thank all those that did contribute to the rubber band ball. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Madam Speaker, briefly on the same subject.
Without objection.
Well, obviously, Madam Speaker, that if we've now fallen from 1st to 18th, obviously our state employees' salaries are now having more effect on there, seeing that they have been held down so long, and that we should make sure that we pass that pay raise for them, Madam Speaker, so that we can put us back up to maybe 17th at least. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader, please.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. First, I would have to announce and give my thanks to the great ghostwriter in the sky, if anybody didn't realize that of course, was there. And then with that, Madam Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday, May 1st.
Adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow.